Rose, very kindly stepped up at the last minute to share her story with us. So, Rose, whenever you're ready, take it away.
I don't know where I'm going to take it. God, please show me.
How much time are we doing? I'm sorry.
Celeste, I think she said 15 to 20 minutes. So if you can give me kind of a maybe 5 minutes before I'm supposed to stop, and then just like a right before I'm supposed to stop so I can wrap up a sentence or two.
Okay, I'll give you a 15 minute and then 2 minutes before.
Awesome.
18.
Thank you.
Thank you.
18 sounds good. Okay. And why does 18 sound good to me? In my tradition, the number 18 is the combination of two letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and it stands for life and God presence. So to get the first piece of guidance from somebody to tell me to stop talking, it's at 18, and my higher power has been teaching me how to stop talking. So for that, I'm grateful. I'm Roz. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm in recovery from my binge eating, and I believe in my way of understanding abstinence. I'm abstinent with regard to my food quantities, but I'm not in recovery in that yet, and God willing, someday. When Janet called me this morning, I had just come out of my morning prayers, and that's something I've learned in this program. I used to pray from books and reading scripture or whatever was what I thought was the only way for me to connect. But before program, I was in a place where I really felt that my higher power had decided it was time to let me be on my own because I messed up too many times. And so I didn't think my higher power had my back. And so I didn't ask for anything because I figured I wasn't going to get it. So why ask for what you're not going to get? Because it's your fault. And by accident, I came into this program. I came in because, and I say by accident because I didn't think I had an addiction. I just knew I was fat because I ate a lot. I didn't have the willpower to stop. And I liked eating. And so I just got bigger and I just kind of made jokes about it. You know, at one point I told my husband that between the two of us, we have well, at first I said I have like a little baby inside of me because we didn't get married when we were kids. We got married after I couldn't have children. So, you know, I have a baby inside me now, you know, we've been married so many years. And then I said to him, oh, I've got between the two of us, we have a little kid. And then I said, between the two of us, we have a football player, you know. So I made jokes about it all the time because I had no idea of what I was doing to myself and how I was destroying my body and my life and our lives. And that is of the people around me. But what I did learn is, thank God, I do have a caring heart, even when it's misguided. And there is a young family that my husband and I really cared about. And they were in really big trouble because they had addiction problems and they were being evicted again. And the kids and the family were going to be out on the street again. And I said to them, we're going back to Israel in about 12 days. We've got to do something to find people to help this family before we leave. We can't leave them like this. And so he said, well, they have meetings. I said, well, find one. So we found a meeting and we went to it. And the man who graciously took us to this meeting asked the people there, it was a closed meeting. And he asked them if it would be okay if we sat in because we were there to help a couple and we didn't have that addiction. And there were about 30, 40 people in the room and they agreed to let us sit in the back of the room and listen. And And that's before COVID, and that's before Zoom is all over the place. So this is a big room with about 34 people sitting around. And people got up and spoke their story and how they had, gotten to the point where they were 10 years in, recovery, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm sitting there, and in my head, I'm listening really carefully, but I'm also hearing that I've been enabling this couple and I've been codependent with this couple. And so I haven't been helping them at all with my behavior, though I thought I was. And I heard six times they said things. And I said, I do that with food, not out loud, but in my head. So after the meeting, I asked the man if I learned anything. And I said, yes, I need to change what I'm doing in relation to the couple. But I also heard them say, I do six things they said I do with, myself. I do it with food. He says, well, we have a program for that. I said, what do you mean? He says, OA, Overeaters Anonymous. I said, that's a Weight Watchers program. I've tried Weight Watchers. And he says, no, that's for people with addiction just like you have. Those were the words that were a gift from God to me because I didn't know I had an addiction. And I said, well, where do I go to a meeting for that? Because he said, well, we have one here tonight. I said to my husband, I said, take me there. So we went. There were only five of us in the room. And the lady who was leading the meeting said during the meeting that newcomers need sponsors. And then she asked if there were any sponsors. And she and another person was a sponsor. And I really liked the way she spoke. And she was the leader, And I thought, well, if she's the leader, I'm going to ask her. I mean, why mess around with somebody else when you can go right to the leader, So I went over to her because I didn't have a big ego at all. I went over to her and I asked her, how could I ask her to be my sponsor? Because to me, sponsors, based on my experience, were sponsoring the football games. And, I taught in a college. And so, there were sponsors for the games and for the teams and stuff and enabled them to have the funding meeting. I'm thinking, what do I need a sponsor? She says, I need it. Okay, I'll find out what it is. If I have to pay a sponsor, I'll pay a sponsor. I don't know. So then she says, she gives me her phone number. I call her. And from that day until today, we still talk. And for the first 8 months of program, probably a year and a half, she talked to me Monday through Friday every day. And I called her every day, not during the weekends, because Saturday was my day of rest and Sunday is hers. And I said, I don't feel right taking you away from your day of rest. So we both agreed Monday through Friday, and that's what we met on. And now we meet once a week. And it's always great to get together with her. She's kind of like a big sister now. She started out being my higher power. Then she became, in my mind, like my mother. And then she became like my big sister. And now she's my sister because I'm a couple of years older than her, even though I call her my big sister because she's a lot wiser than I am. And I'm very grateful. She's been in program from the time that there was no OA 12 and 12. She was in program when it was just the big book and when it was the gray sheets. And so she taught me a lot of stuff using the OA 12 and 12, but really her core is from the big book. So I say to myself, what do I need to share with you guys this morning? And these 12 steps are the steps I take every single day of my life now. This is the way I walk each day, because if I don't admit that I'm powerless over food, I'm in trouble. And the 70 pounds that I lost in the beginning of program, it would be back on in a flash. So I'm abstinent because this program works and I work it every day. I believe there is a power greater than me, and that power is my God. That was the same God that I had before I came into program. The difference is I have a different relationship. And the reason I have that different relationship is because my sponsor was hearing me talk about what was really my feelings about higher power. And she said, well, what do you want your higher power to be? And after she heard me cry with depths of tears that only a mother would understand, or somebody in program. But at that point, my mind was only a mom. And I cried and cried. And she said to me, you know, God loves you. And I said, no, it's not possible. Not with what, you know, me. And so she said, God really loves you. And somehow or other, it touched me to the core. And I could feel running through my body this love that, and I knew she was right because she wouldn't lie to me. And she said, write down what you think God, you know, how you would like God to be with you. And I wrote some stuff and wrote some stuff. But a couple of weeks later, I woke up around 3 a.m. with this thing going on in my head. And it sounded like a song. And I didn't want to move because, you know, when you hear a sound in your heart and it sounds so beautiful, you know, if you move to get up to write it, you may lose some of it. So I didn't want to move. And so, but finally I did, and I wrote it down. I'm going to read it to you because this was July of 2020, and I came in program in June of 2019. So it's a little over a year in program. It's called, Please Hold My Hand. Please hold my hand and show me what to do. Please hold my hand and I will follow you. Please guide my walk so I'll go the way, and guide my talk so I'll pray today. Please know I care and want to be my best. I know you're here and help me pass the test. Please know I love that you hold my hand, because with your love, I'm able to stand. Because with your love, I'm able to pray. And because with your love, I can go the way today and every day. And when you tell me no, it's so I'll grow. And when you send a cloud that stops me cold, I know you give me time for truth to unfold. And when you hear my cry for loss of a dear one, you remind me of times we shared in the sun. I never will doubt the gift you provide. Just need to remember I get frightened inside when events of the day distract me with pride. Please hold my hand and walk with me so I can stand tall and be the light you intend for me. And this has been a prayer I say quite often. But when I first said it and I first read it, I went, oh, you're like a 7-year-old. You're a little kid. You know, you don't even know, you know, how to be an adult yet, you know. And there is a 7-year-old in me, and I love that 7-year-old, and she's fun. And we do some silly things together, but it's not all of me. But at that time, that's all I saw, and that's all I recognized that was in me. So there's no question in my mind that my higher power guides my life, but there's also no question in my mind that I forget. And if I didn't do my steps and I didn't go to meetings and I didn't have sponsees and I didn't have a sponsor and I didn't have friends that outreach to me and I outreach to, I'd forget more and more. I do forget even with all of that. So God knows what I would do if I didn't. And then it says, make a seat. A searching and fearless moral inventory of myself. Well, I do that every day. And yesterday, well, 2 days ago, something really hit me very deeply. And I did a 10th step on it. And I didn't resolve it. So I thought to myself, maybe I have to do a 4th step on it and do a full inventory. So I wrote to my sponsor and I said, do I have to do a 4th inventory, or is there something else I need to do? So she says, I've got 5 minutes. Is this a good time? And I said, yes, we talked for 5 minutes. She said, if it's emotion, Roz, it's therapy. If it's regrets or resentments, then it's program. So I said, I guess I have to call somebody to talk to. She said, yeah, this is not program. I said, okay. So I called a friend who's in the States, who's a therapist, an excellent one, and very skilled, and she knows me well. We met last night at 10 o'clock and got off the phone at 12. And she made me aware that a lot of the stuff, which is typical of me, I made a mountain out of a molehill, which I have a tendency to do. and cleared up a lot of stuff. And I went, oh, okay, that's cool. I can deal with that. And I went, glad I checked that one out, you know. And then this morning when I was praying, I was thanking God for that gift of my willingness to be honest about everything and my willingness to really look inside and explore who I really am. And because I really believe the clearer I get, the better I can serve my higher power. And that maybe what I'm saying to people today will resonate with somebody and help that person. The whole idea is that I know I'm not going to get to be perfect, because if I were perfect, I'd be an angel. So I've gotten past that, but I do want to be as good as I can be. And I want today for me to be better than yesterday, and tomorrow for me to be better than I was today. And that's kind of like my one day at a time goals I set for myself.
5 minutes remaining.
Thank you. So anyway, moving forward, I decided I needed to learn what I didn't understand about the big book. And I'm a person who needs, I'm a together person. I need a withness, which is why this program is so important to me, because we're a we program. I'm not a very good reader. And people say, what do you mean you're a professor in college? That's beside the point. I know how to read and I work hard at it, but that doesn't mean I'm a good reader. And it's only since this program that I can read without my words getting out of order, because all of the preservatives and all those other things that were in my head, along with my own mess, I had lots of things going on in my head all the time. And I got distracted and it was hard for me to read. Now I read slowly, but I read clearly. And I understand what I'm reading, and I don't have to go over it 3 and 4 times. Anyway, bottom line is, 6 months after I wrote that prayer, I was in Big Book now, and I'm learning Big Book program, and I'm working through the steps. I finished the 12 steps with a new sponsor. And remember, I'm high maintenance, so I still have my first one. I'm not letting go, you know. She's my buddy. And my new sponsor, I now have 2 sponsors. So anyway, I wrote this poem, and this one really, I think, talks about where I am today. I don't think I'm past this yet, and I'm very grateful for here. So I'm going to share that with you. Please give me guidance. Please give me hope. That's the title. There once was an old woman who lived by the sea. She had so many options, she didn't know what to be. So she asked her brother, her sister, and friend, and finally she asked God in the end. She quietly sat in a chair by the light and quietly asked with a good bit of fright, please give me guidance. Please give me hope. Who am I to be, and what is the purpose of me? And why do you hide when I know you're inside? What gives you joy, and what pleases you? How can I help? Show me what to do. Please give me guidance. Please give me hope. Please open my eyes and let my words be the ones that you spoke and that you gave to me. I ask you this day, I pray that you say that the good I will do is what you want me to. Please give me guidance. Please give me hope. That's where I am now. And I'm asking God every day to give me guidance and tell me what is the right thing for me to do, and when to stop, when to pause. And we know all those expressions, you know, halt, which has the positive definitions of the 4 letters, and also has the negative definitions of the 4 letters.
You know, 2 minutes remaining.
And I'm just hope that whoever is here today, I want to thank you for being here, because it's because of you. This room is the room where I started in going to meetings. I used to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning so I could come to this 5 o'clock meeting. And I thought, this is crazy as can be. And I remember who was leading the meeting, and I came to it once, and there was a gal who reached out to me and said, welcome. And then the next time I came, she said, good to see you again. That was close to 9 months into program, because for the first 7 months, I had no contact with anybody other than my sponsor because I was isolated and there was no Zoom that I could click, and Skype didn't work. So I'm just saying to whoever's here today, the service you are doing by being at this meeting, by talking to people, is a gift that brings life back to us. For me, it's a lifesaver I will never forget, and I am grateful for every day of my life. And all my friends know how grateful I am for this program and what it's done for me. And I keep getting comments like, "You've really changed, Roz," which is a nice way of saying you're not a blah, blah, blah anymore. And that's kind of nice to know too. So on that, I will close what I have to say. And I just wish all of you the recovery and the abstinence that you work for, and you get the way you really know it's meant to be for you. Thank you for letting me share.